Chapter 5, Naive Culpability and Nasty Consequence. A trap seizes him by the heel. A snare holds him fast. Job 18, verse 9. Outcomes of impossible choices. I wasn't equipped with the information I needed to make a knowledgeable commitment to save myself for marriage. The choices I was given were, number one, to not have sex before marriage, and number two, there were no other choices. I had heard some great messages in youth group, even by my own godly father, about avoiding sex before marriage, but no one ever discussed the ramifications, like what would happen if I failed to do things right and ended up pregnant. When I failed in that directive or found myself being raped at age 17, there was no instruction on what to do from there. I was in a crisis and made decisions out of shame and fear and ignorance of the truth. You saw the hypocrisy in the way I lived my life and the things I did in secret while I went to church and acted all holy and righteous, even in a leadership role. I probably got away with it because there were enough others who were also doing similar things, or simply we were all too naive to make each other accountable. We weren't involved in each other's lives enough to do so. Or maybe I was such a good actress and seemed so confident and strong in the Lord that no one dared ask me hard questions. My life wasn't really about the gospel, though I put on a great show at church. My life was about me and serving myself and then trying my best to look good to everyone else so I could repeat the game the next day. Since I never learned anything about fetal development or abortion, I couldn't grasp the meaning of equating it with murder, nor did I have an inkling of the damage it could cause. You've read my story so far. The choices I was initially offered by the church regarding my untimely pregnancy were, number one, give birth to this baby with no support from them, accompanied by shame, and two, there were no other choices offered. Some choice. Despite my bad experience with confessing my first pregnancy at church, my abortion was for cowardly reasons. I covered up my sexual sin by secretly taking the life of my child. Even though I didn't know specifics, I knew in my heart it was wrong. I can relate to King David, who covered up his sexual sin with Bathsheba and her resulting pregnancy by secretly taking the life of her husband Uriah. Both situations resulted in an innocent person's death to cover the guilty person's sin. Once you make a bad choice, it's a lot easier to make another one, especially if you haven't learned the benefit of facing the consequences and allowing God an opportunity to redeem the situation for His glory. Because I did such a good job of not facing the consequences the first time around, I made the very same poor choices in the same order a second time. I repeated the whole scenario. The second time, it was a no-brainer. I was on autopilot with no one the wiser. I feel like the church was on autopilot at the same time. I can blame no one outright for my choices. If I did that, then I know that God would have far more to hold against me. But there were important factors that played a role in my decision-making at the time. My first pregnancy occurred before I was involved in any kind of church leadership role. If I had been in leadership at the time, the church counselor's conversation with me might have been more appropriate, though far too late. However, leader or not, no support to help me find resources along with pointing out my sin left me feeling accused and abandoned. Speaking judgment into the life of someone in crisis is counterproductive at best. When it happened to me, the need to hide my sin and shame was priority numero uno. The judgment hindered me from coming back for more help because no one acknowledged that I was human and therefore subject to sin. I subconsciously knew that I must be the only one who sinned this seriously and therefore was not worthy of their help. When the church was silent about abortion with no warning of its dangers and complications, how was I to know about these things on my own? The church's silence left me with no choice but to look elsewhere for help. I don't think my pastors and youth leaders and singles leaders wanted me to go to Planned Parenthood for answers and help, but they didn't offer any reasonable alternatives. I can't help but wonder, what if? What if my parents and youth leaders proactively addressed the possible scenarios and ramifications of sex outside of marriage? What if my pastors had known the importance of teaching about the sanctity of human life and the value of each individual human at every stage of life? What if the church talked about how much abortion hurts women, as well as the ripple effect on everyone else? What if the church taught us about all the possible scenarios of pregnancy, parenting, adoption, and abortion, along with the possible outcomes and consequences to all choices? What if, in the absence of informed consent that medical professionals offer for other types of surgery, the church provided this proactively to every teen, parent, and young adult? What if, when I confessed my sexual sin and pregnancy, the woman who met with me at church knew the importance of caring for me as much as for my baby before trying to sort out my sin? What if there were thousands of pregnancy centers and pro-life organizations and endless information via the internet, and the church directed me to the resources that could have helped me become a functional mother? What if women in the church mentored me in parenting and living the Christian faith? What if they gave me every reason possible to not go to Planned Parenthood for help? I never would have, quote, chosen abortion. I realize that all these what-ifs could so easily become, or are already, reality today in some congregations. Nonetheless, many of the same reasons I made my, quote, choice to abort are the same reasons young and not so young people today continue to make that same uninformed choice. It concerns me that this is the case. In what alternatives is the church supporting people in this type of crisis? As with individuals, what a church does is drastically more important than what a church says. Moreover, if a church says nothing, they haven't even begun to address this major problem. What if?